The gospel today is Mark 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Word of God, word of life.
What a provocative story we hear this morning from Mark's gospel. I'm going to talk mostly about the second half, Jairus' daughter. One of the leaders of the synagogue, Jairus, went to Jesus and worshiped him. That's what the words here mean, begging him, pleading. "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." How often have I heard your stories, your prayers of intercession for your own daughters and sons? Prayers when they are born, prayers when they start school, prayers when they move to a new school, prayers when they are learning to drive, prayers when they get in trouble and don't realize how vulnerable they are, prayers when they have difficulty in their classes, prayers when they are sick, prayers when they can't seem to get life sorted out, prayers when you meet their boyfriend or girlfriend, prayers when they go off to college, prayers when they don't, prayers when they go off on their own, prayers when they move back in, prayers when their first child is born. How fortunate we are that we can share these prayers in the fellowship of the church, with small groups, with close friends, or silently in our hearts in the prayers of worship time. How very much comfort and strength we find in knowing that the prayers of this church community, these special relationships, lift up our prayers, bringing the miracle of eternal life into the joys and the heartaches of every day. Be with our daughters and sons, Jesus. Lay your hands on them. Let them be well and live. Today we hear a story for all parents and all daughters and sons. Jairus, a father, one of the leaders of the synagogue, went to Jesus and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." Hearing this, Jesus went with him immediately. When Jesus got to the place where the little girl was, he found people outside weeping and wailing loudly. Some went to Jairus to cruelly say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But Jesus pushed all that aside. He went, inviting in her mother and father and his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John as well. Taking her by the hand, he said simply, "Little girl, get up." She got up and began to walk, and he told them to give her something to eat. Perhaps we've heard this story so many times that we're tempted to take it for granted. But think about it for a moment and ask yourself, why would Jesus, the great teacher, the Messiah, in the midst of teaching a great crowd of people and healing others, why would he step aside to go and heal one child? A girl, no less. In a society that put no value on children or girls. This story shows us not only Jesus' power to heal and to raise from the dead, a power previously attributed to God alone. It shows us who he is and where his heart is. It shows us his values, his priorities, his ethics. It shows us that for him, nothing is more important in this moment than this child. And in making time to raise up this one girl, is he not showing us that he wants abundant life for all the children? "Suffer the little children, come to me," he said, "for to such as these belongs the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love, of righteousness, the kingdom of compassion, justice, and peace." We who would be his disciples place this same conviction at the heart of our followership, if you will, this care for the children, all the children, each and every one of the children, no matter the color of their skin, the language they speak, the country of their birth. I'm not talking politics here. Amongst ourselves, we might well disagree on what policies to pursue or how to proceed as we face issues challenging our nation now to the core. But bottom line, as followers of Jesus, The one who sought out and raised up a 12-year-old girl, wanting her to have life and food to eat. As followers of Jesus, our bottom line must always be the welfare of each and every child. Now, John Wesley once said wisely to his people called Methodist, "Though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike? May we not be of one heart, though we are not of one opinion?" Without all doubt, he said, we may. Herein all the children of God may unite, notwithstanding these smaller differences. We are one in Christ Jesus. We who strive to be his disciples, his followers, are one in him. And through him we are in relationship with one another and with God and with every one of God's children. That's the power of this sacrament we share this morning, the power of this bread and cup. For it was Jesus himself who said, "Take, eat, take, drink, do these things to remember me." Jesus has a way of doing wondrous things, like healing and teaching the crowds. And then doing something almost commonplace to reveal the depth and power of what he really is about. Like showing his disciples the full scope of his power and might. And then taking ordinary food from their table. Something to eat. And transforming it into this sacrament through which his presence and power will always be present to them. Or, like raising up a little girl, and then following it up with something really ordinary to bring it home and help us remember all that it really means. He saves a girl's life. And then he looks at everybody standing around with their mouths hanging open, and he says to them, "Don't just stand there. Do something. Give her something to eat." Remember how another time he asked, "Which of you parents, if your child asks for bread, would give them a stone?" Give her something to eat. It's as if he's saying, "I am the one who has come to bring life in abundance. And now, my followers, here's what you must do. Give her something to eat. Be it literal food, be it encouragement, be it safety, or love, or compassion, or hope, give her something to eat, just as you do for your very own children." Fellow followers, as we prepare our hearts to come to the table of God's love and grace this morning, remember that Christ Jesus is here this day, bringing the gift of life for one and all. Pray, eat, believe, love. Thanks be to God. Amen.